Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles for our Bible study and open them to the book of Luke, the first chapter, the 46th verse. Boy, I tell you what a great hymn. The old story never gets old, does it? Jesus and His love, praise God. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married, some have been married a long time, and some just got married. Some have kids, some don't have kids. Many here today and many watching us are believers, but not all. But we're all here sitting here today. We're all here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded His church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. Well, I mentioned our children. We're going to have special events next week with putting together the mission project with our youth, and then on the 18th, special parties, and then on the 25th, they're going to have a special activity page. I heard the story about a little girl at Christmas. She came home. She had an activity page, and she said, "Mommy, Mommy, in Sunday school, my teacher was so excited about my picture, and I want you to see it." Well, the mother looked at it and said, "Well, this is an airplane. It's a picture of an airplane." Now, who are those people in the back of the plane? She said, "That's Joseph and Mary on their flight to Egypt." Then she said, "Who's that rather large fellow?" She said, "That's Round John Burgeon." Then she said, "So who's flying the plane?" She said, "Well, that's Pontius the pilot." Well, I think our kids will get it a little bit more than that, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, we're so thankful that we have the privilege to think about Christmas, to study Christmas. Listen, the power of music. We've been singing, "I love to tell the old story." We're singing Emmanuel. We're singing about God with us. We're singing about the great truths of Christmas. We have a singing faith, and that's why the title of our series is "It's Christmas Time, Let's Sing." Now, we sing every Sunday, but particularly at Christmas, we love to sing. We're wired to sing about what is the most important thing to us. It makes sense that we would sing about the God of the universe and His love. I told you this last week. Jonathan Edwards, the great theologian, said this: "The best, most beautiful, and most perfect way that we have of expressing a sweet concord of mind to each other is music." There's something powerful about us together corporately worshiping. And we love that. Luther said this: "Beautiful music is the art of the prophets and can calm the agitations of the soul. It is one of the most magnificent and delightful presence God has given us." The psalmist said this: "I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being." So, it's Christmas time, let's sing. Well, do you know there are 5 Christmas hymns in Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2? We're going to go through them this Christmas season. Last week, we did the Song of Elizabeth. It was a song of joy, hymn number 1. And she had joy for John. You remember, Elizabeth was the mother of John the Baptist. And when Mary came in to visit her after she had seen the angel, and the angel said, you're highly favored, Mary. You're going to have the Savior. You remember when she came in that the baby in Elizabeth's womb leapt, jumped for joy. That was John the Baptist. And so she had joy for John. She had joy for herself that Mary had come to see her. And then she had joy for Mary because she knew that the promises of God were going to come true. Well, today we're looking at the Song of Mary. This is hymn number 2. We've done hymn number 1, the Song of Elizabeth. This is hymn number 2. And this is Mary's song of love. So I want us to read this passage of Scripture. And this is found in Luke chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 46 through 56. All right, I'll read it out loud from my copy of God's Word. You follow along in your copy. This is Mary's song of love. And Mary said, verse 46, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me." I love that. Great things for me, great things for me, my Lord. That's it, my soul. That's it, I love that song. That's where that comes from. For he, verse 49, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Verse 50, "And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." Verse 56. "And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house." This is called Mary's Magnificat. This is the Latin word Magnificat, is the very first word in verse 46 in the Latin Vulgate. All right, the Latin word Magnificat is the idea of "my soul magnifies." And so they call this the Magnificat. We're calling it hymn number 2, Mary's Song of Love. Not quite as distinguished as the word the Magnificat, but this is her song. The word magnify in verse 46, "my soul magnifies," means to enlarge. It means to tell it out. Mary's song of love was a song of praise to God. My soul, my spirit, it is repeating the blessing and the majesty of God. The Scripture says, "With my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." Now, even though she was a young girl, most likely a teenage girl, she was likely illiterate, but this passage seems to, she quotes and references 15 Old Testament quotes that are in this passage of Scripture, all right? It's modeled after Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Also, Miriam's song in Exodus chapter 15, verse 21. So here's this girl who, she did not necessarily have a scroll or a copy of the Old Testament, but she had heard these stories and she knew of the faithfulness of God. And so in her song of praise, she uses phrases from the Old Testament. What a powerful challenge to us to know God's Word, so that we know it so well that naturally we would be quoting from the Scripture as we go about our way and go about our praise to God, okay? She basically is saying, "You have chosen me, Lord, and I am overwhelmed by your love." That's why we say Mary's song of love. It looks a lot like David's words in the psalm, in Psalm 34:3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Or Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So we see some things here in this song that I want to highlight for you. Here's the first one. We see his love for me. Mary says, I want to praise the Lord and magnify him because of his love for me, she says. Look at verse 48. For he hath regarded, in verse 47 it says, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. First of all, she says in verse 47, she calls him my Savior, all right? She called the Lord my Savior. So the Lord saved her. The Lord has shown his favor upon her. And so she calls him my Savior. And then in verse 48, she uses the word, you have regarded. He has regarded. That phrase comes from a word that talks about eyesight. Basically, Mary is saying that you see me. Now, church family, you may be out there busy in all that you're doing and life's difficult. You're going through difficulty. I know of folks even this morning going through some very difficult circumstances. They've lost loved ones recently, and my heart is thinking about them. And you think about that and you wonder, Lord, do you know where I am? Can I tell you this? Mary is magnifying the Christmas message today by saying in this song, Lord, you have regarded. You see me. Church family, the Lord Jesus sees you. He knows what you're going through. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows the difficulty that you face when you're there all alone. When you're laying there at night all alone and you wonder, does anybody know that I'm alive? Does anybody know what I'm going through? Can I tell you this? The Lord Jesus Christ knows who you are. The Lord Jesus Christ knows who you are. She says in verse 48, for he has regarded, all right? It reminds you of Psalm 31 that says, I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble. Psalm 31, 7 and 8, you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities and have not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a wide place. Lord, you know exactly where I am. What a great message this is. Church family, listen, be on the lookout for people in your world at Christmas that need a friend. You know, Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year, they say, and when we're together, we celebrate it. It is so powerful what Christmas means to us. But Christmas can also be a lonely time for some. Christmas can be a time that is a reflection of maybe a memory that was once had and is not had now. I don't know the circumstances of everyone, but we ought to be on the lookout for people, because the truth is we need to know the Lord has considered our trouble. He's regarded me, is what she says. And then in verse 48, it says, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. That was her social position. She had no clout. She was in a lowly state. And then verse 48, it says, for behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. And aren't we doing that? We can't believe how the Lord showed his favor to Mary. And so she says that. And then in verse 49, the scripture says, for he who is mighty. I love that. That's the one who is able. The one who is able to do great things. Hey, listen, you may not have the power to make your circumstances change, but God does. He's the mighty one. And Mary said in verse 49, for he who is mighty has done great things for me. He's made all of this possible. She is giving her testimonies what she's doing. And church family, you know what we need to do? We need to give our testimony. We need to tell people what Jesus has done in our life and how he has changed our life. And then in verse 49, she says, and holy is his name. This is a phrase that means he fulfills his covenantal promises. By the way, you know that when you give your life to Jesus, it doesn't mean that all your problems just automatically go away. You do know that, don't you? Shake your head. I'm glad you know that. Of course, that's kind of a rhetorical question because we're all in difficulty, aren't we? We're all in difficult circumstances. And you know that just because you give your life to Jesus does not mean that there's not hurt, does not mean there's not difficulty in circumstances. But here's the difference. Here's the difference to the follower of Jesus. Here's the difference that happened in Mary's life. She had linked her life with the covenant God. Now, let me tell you something. You know, people say to me, they will say, you know, the Lord wants you healed. Well, I agree with that. You say, do you believe in physical healing? Oh, yes, I do believe in physical healing. Here's where the rub comes in. It's the timing of it sometimes. You know, the Bible says, by His stripes we are healed. Can I tell you this? There is coming a day when every physical difficulty that you face will be gone if you're involved with the covenant God. And the Lord keeps His promises. And this is what Mary is saying. She says, Lord, holy is Your name. That means He is a covenant God. Sometimes the Lord chooses to heal in this life, and He certainly can do that, and we've seen that happen. Sometimes the ultimate healing is the healing that we experience in eternity, but we will be healed. By His stripes we are healed. But the truth of the matter is, you can go through the difficulty that you face because you're in a relationship with a covenant God, and that's what she's saying. She's saying, this is amazing, His love for me. Holy is His name. This is a testimony of what He has done for Mary personally. So I want you to think about this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Insert your name into that verse. For God so loved, and put your name in that verse of Scripture for you. For me it would be, for God so loved Calvin. Me, Calvin. A little red-headed kid in Jacksonville, wondering what life was all about. It became a reality to me that the God creator of this universe loved me. And can I tell you this? He loves you. And Mary acknowledged that. She said, this is amazing. I want to sing about His love for me. Here's the second thing. Mary would not only say His love for me, but His love for you. And she makes that clear in verse 50. Look at this. And His mercy on those from generation to generation. His mercy on those from generation to generation. The word mercy is the idea of compassion. Now, we have a God. We know from the Old Testament the Lord is powerful and the Lord is holy, and He will bring judgment upon those without Jesus and without forgiveness. We know that. Sometimes we tend to emphasize one or the other, His mercy and love or His judgment. You know, the Bible says in the Old Testament, God said, I will by no means clear the guilty. Listen to me, congregation. Listen to me online. If you're thinking that one day when you get to heaven or to eternity, God's going to take the good things you did, supposedly good, and the bad things you did, and kind of weigh them on a scale, and the one that weighs the most wins, you're very mistaken. The Bible says even our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. So there is the truth that God will by no means clear the guilty. If you are guilty of sin, He will by no means clear the guilty. Yesterday I had some guys come and work at our house, and I was talking to them, and I said, and I had heard this in the week. I'd shared this with our staff, and I said something I hardly ever say to somebody that I barely know. I said, I want to talk to y'all for a second. Have you ever thought about death? The guy looked at me. You know, you don't just bring that up sometimes with people. But I said, have you ever thought about death? And the guy looked at me and said, well, yeah. I said, hey, I wonder what that's like. He said, man, I don't know. I said, do you know why we die? he said, well, we just all do. I said, well, you know, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. I said, you know what sin is? He said, oh, yes, when you do things wrong. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, have you ever lied? He said, oh, yeah. I said, thanks for your honesty. I have too. And I said, what does that make you? He said, well, a liar. I said, you know, you're a liar. Now, here I was talking to this guy for the first time, right? So I called him a liar. That's not probably the best way to go about things. But anyway, I said, you're a liar. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, have you ever stolen anything? He said, yeah. I said, well, I have too. I said, what does that make you? He said, a thief. I said, no, you're not a thief. You're a lying thief. He kind of grinned. And I said, hey, where's your mama? He said, my mama lives up in Carolina. I said, do you love your mama? He said, yes. I said, would you ever use your mother's name as a cuss word? He said, oh, no. I said, why? He said, because I love and respect my mother. I said, have you ever used God's name like that? He said, yeah. I said, the Bible calls that blasphemy. I said, you know, the guy, the God who gave you air to breathe, who created you, who allowed you to do work like you're doing at my house right now, and make this money I don't want to give you right now. And I didn't say that. But I said, you're blaspheming him, using his name in vain. You're a blaspheming, thieving liar. And I said, the Bible says the wages of that, just like I'm about to pay you for doing this work, the wages of that is death. And I said, the death in the Bible doesn't mean just dying when you get old. It means separation from God in a place called hell. Man, he's bug-eyed at this point. I said, but did you know that God made a way for you to get out of that? I said, did you know that Jesus Christ, I said, we're about to have Christmas. I said, we're celebrating the birth of Christ. I said, did you know that Jesus Christ loved you enough that he came and died on a cruel cross to take your sins so that you could be saved? And had the opportunity to share the gospel with him, and I gave him a gospel booklet for him to follow up. I said, what do you need to do? He said, I need to get saved. I said, and he was not ready right then. I said, well, let me tell you something. I wouldn't wait long. I said, you need to give your heart and life to Christ. But you see, sometimes we talk about the holiness and the power of God, and we need to. He said, I will by no means clear the guilty. We also need to realize, as Mary sung about in verse 50, his mercy is on those who fear him. Praise God for his mercy, or his compassion. And then it says, from generation to generation, his love is for you if you will fear him. It reminds us, when you think about generation to generation, it reminds you of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I tell you this? For all of the Old Testament and all generations, God has been after people. Why is it that Brayson and Jolene are headed to Japan? You know, because God is after those people over there. He's after them. He's after people. God is after people to show mercy upon people. And can I tell you this, church family? God's after you. God sent Jesus to be born a babe in a manger. The only explanation is that he loves us. For God so loved Calvin that he gave his only begotten son, that if Calvin would believe in him, he would not perish but have everlasting life. Tell me the old story. I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. So, Mary in her song, his love for me, she says, and then his love for you. And then here's the last thing, we'll be done. His love, number three, brings a reversal. I want you to think about that. Because in verses 51 and following, he has shown strength with his arm. He has shown strength with his arm. He reverses fortune. It's a public kind of love. Look at this. The arrogant is brought low. In verses 51b, it says, he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. People that are arrogant, that think that they have their own way, you really believe? Do you really believe, watching me today or in this auditorium today, that of your own power, that you're going to somehow go out into eternity? You arrogant fool, do you really believe that? The Bible says at the end, he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. It says in verse 52, he has put down the mighty from their thrones. Some people believe that they're so powerful, they have so much resources, they can do it all themselves. Well, listen, you may have that for a season. You may have that for a season. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. The Lord takes the arrogant and brings them low. We see that in 53b, the end of 53. And the rich he has sent away empty. And then the mercy, he gives mercy to the lowly. We see it in chapter 1, verses 48 and following. To the lowly, he blessed her. And then in 52, at the end, it says, and exalted the lowly or the humble. And then in 53, at the beginning, it says, he has filled the hungry with good things. So the story of this is a story of reversal. God will have the last word. Hey, church family, can we acknowledge at Christmas time? Can I just say this out loud and you in your mind, amen? God has the last word. God has the last word. In Psalm 37, 10 and 11, it says this, for yet a little while and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So you have a covenantal God if you have given your heart to Jesus. You have a covenantal God who keeps his promises. This is what the Song of Mary is about. The Song of Mary is saying, I have linked my life. God has linked me, his power and his life with me. I have been favored by God. And she says, be it unto me according to thy word, she said. And because of that, she says, I've linked my life with a covenantal God. I think about Joseph. Joseph sold into slavery. Think about this. Sold into slavery. He's there in a jail. He's falsely accused. And he had been in the family of Israel, in the line of the Lord's people. And he's probably thinking, Lord, do you know I'm here? He told the butler and the baker, hey, remember me when you get out. And there was nothing, there was zero. And so what did he do? He stayed faithful. As best we know, Joseph stayed faithful. And one day the Lord got him out of there and he became the prime minister of all of Egypt. I think about the people of God's people in Egypt. They were there as slaves. They were working, making those bricks. And at one point they had to make the bricks with no straw. And it was tough. And there were taskmasters. And it was difficulty. And yet they had a covenantal God. And eventually God brought Moses and they were delivered. I think about Daniel, this little boy, this young person who was taken off into Babylon from his people, and they changed his name and they gave him a new diet. He drew the line. He says, I will not be defiled by the king's choice food. He said, let me put you to the test. Let me put a test out there. Let me eat what I'm supposed to eat and y'all eat what y'all want to eat and let's see how I do. And so Daniel was faithful, and when they said bow down, he would not bow down. Don't you think it was tough when everybody else was? Oh yeah. But God showed up because God eventually made him the prime minister, he had three kings that he served under, and he was in charge, and God blessed him. Folks, I don't know when it's going to be. You stay faithful. The message of Mary is that God is a covenantal God and that he has shown mercy in covenant to those who have put their faith and their trust in him. I want us to bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.